Welcome to episode 31 of Theatre Audience Podcast. I'm Natalie and I'll be bringing you the news, reviews, interviews and recommendations of the latest must-see theatre. We'll be discussing what's on, what's been and gone, the next hot ticks and friendly advice on where to get hold of the best tickets. So the latest theatre news, I've been overjoyed that theatre has slowly been returning. I loved seeing Jesus Christ Superstar back in episode 30, and this week I saw Sleepless, a romantic musical. So this is a historic event in world theatre. This is the first fully staged performance since the lockdown. And this was at the Troubadour Wembley Park in a spacious, modern, well-ventilated building. And I saw this show back in episode 12 in December. And this was when they had the three-show world premiere. So Sleepless is an enchanting new romantic musical comedy. It's based on the original story and screenplay of the rom-com classic Sleepless in Seattle, with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. The book is by Michael Burdett and the music and lyrics by new British writers Robert Scott and Brendan Coyle. It tells the heartwarming tale of Sam, who moves to Seattle with his 10-year-old son, Jonah, following the tragic death of his wife. And when Jonah phones a radio show, Sam is forced to talk about his broken heart and sleepless nights live on air. He suddenly finds himself one of the most sought-after single men in America, and this is a great news story for the feisty journalist Annie on the opposite side of the country. Can Jonah bring the two together on the top deck of the Empire State Building on Valentine's Day? So it's the interval at Sleepless at the Wembley Troubadour Theatre, and it's just so lovely to be back in a theatre, being an audience member and seeing performers live. It's so heartwarming. This is a really fresh and lovely book alongside this brand new musical score. It's kind of brings this most timeless of romantic comedies to life on stage. It's kind of American songbook, jazzy, lovely for a Friday evening. It's very different staging and set to the original that I saw back at Christmas. We've actually got a beautiful water feature at the front, which really pulls together the sort of riverside boathouse that Jonah and Sam live in. It's odd seeing audience members with masks on throughout the performance, and the theatre capacity is reduced and the seating's arranged to comply with the government social distancing regulations. We were temperature checked upon entry. Everyone's wearing face coverings in the venue throughout. Bar payments are contactless and there's sanitizer everywhere, and overall just a really lovely experience. So Sleepless was directed by Morgan Young. He recently directed Irving Berlin's White Christmas, which was at the Dominion Theatre, and also Elf the Musical and Big the Musical. And the producers were Mark Toberoff and David Shaw. The set design was by Morgan Large. I recently saw his work in I Think We Are Alone by Frantic Assembly, which was at Stratford. And Ken Billington was in charge of lighting design. And also the video designer was Ian William Golloway. This was quite key to the production of the set. Sound design was Simon Bidolph, and costume design was by Sue Simmeling. Orchestration by Larry Blank. And the musical director was Chris Walker, with Stuart Morley as the musical supervisor. Our key characters, the cast had changed quite a lot from the production that I saw back at Christmas. Namely, Jay McGuinness was playing the part of Sam. He's best known as vocalist from the boy band The Wanted. And Kimberly Walsh was our Annie back at Christmas and remained our Annie in this production. She rose to prominence in the record-breaking band Girls Aloud. other main cast included Daniel Casey, who is best known for playing Sergeant Troy in Midsummer Murders, and also Tom Bailey in EastEnders, and he played Walter. And Harriet Thorpe played the part of Annie's mother, Eleanor. Best friend Becky was played by Tanya Matherin, and my good friend Corey English played the part of Rob. There were four boys who rotate to play the part of Jonah, Sam's son, and in the performance that I saw Job Hart, and he was a true rising star. You'll remember a conversation that I had with my good drama school buddy, Corey English, backstage at Curtains, which was at the Wyndham's Theatre. He'd just finished playing the part of Maitre D' in Cats the Movie, and you can find our conversation back in episode 10, where he talks about stories on set with Judi Dench and Sir Ian McKellen, James Corden, Taylor Swift, Idris Elba, Jason Derulo and Jennifer Hudson, to name but a few. He was also in a production of Young Frankenstein in the West End. And here's our conversation after Sleepless.
So Corey, I loved the show.
Thanks for coming.
Well, it's been a long time since since I've been to the theatre. It was wonderful. It was lovely to be back watching. How did it feel to be back on the board after coronavirus?
Well, first of all, I feel extremely blessed to be, you know, to be performing. I mean, we're the only theatre that is open. So to be able to perform is lucky. I feel lucky and blessed, and to have some people being able to go to the theatre is remarkable. It's a beginning for everybody.
It's a historic performance.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's exciting to be back. It's different, very, very different.
Yeah. Yep. We sell it's a 1,200 seat theatre, and they're selling 400 seats. So the producers have really stuck their neck out. They will not make their money back whatsoever. Mm. You know, kudos to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
For, you know, getting us going.
Yeah, because I saw the show, a very different format back at the beginning of the year. Was it December? It was December. It was very Christmassy. The Christmas tree up.
Oh, right.
And it was just those three sort of preview shows. And it's taken shape and is very, very different.
Sure.
Much better. Much better. Because you're in it.
But, too kind.
No, just wonderful to just sort of sit back and see so everything that's evolved.
I did the workshop back in 2016.
Did you?
And it was Kim did it, Annie Reed did it, Tom Ellis did it, Lucifer.
Okay.
Yeah, it was hot, it was very hot, big man, that was exciting. It was a great little workshop, and so I had to turn down Sleepless a couple times. When they were getting productions up and running, and so this one just it worked out great. Timing happened to work out, so you know.
What you mean you weren't doing anything?
I wasn't doing a damn thing. No. So I'm so happy. My role. I love this part.
Mm. Suits you down
I
to the
could,
ground.
Thank you. You know me so well. But I could do this show for at least a year. 2 years. I could play this part. Easy. I love it. I love it.
Are there any plans for the future of the show?
I certainly
say
hope
about
so.
That? I mean, I think it should have longevity. Obviously, the run is until the end of September.
Yes. And then Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber came to see the show. He owns a few theatres in London.
A few, a couple.
So there might be some available.
At the moment.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. It would be wonderful if it did carry on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I loved your Now or Never number. That was just the energy. And who was the boy?
Job.
He was great.
The young man, and he's extraordinary. He's a pro.
Yeah.
He's a real pro. Loads of experience. Not much training either. And
really?
He's an absolute pro.
Yeah, the chemistry was wonderful. I mean, I could see your fatherly vibes coming through the piggyback and the lifting over the sofa. Brilliant.
That's the same choreography from the 2016 workshop.
I noticed it more this time because I was watching you.
So to do a number with a kid, I haven't done that, I don't think, ever. So to be able to do that, a number with a kid who's really ready for anything. You know, I like to go moment to moment. When I
brilliant.
Perform.
So. Yeah. Well, I was like, gave so much energy, and then when it was like, spoiler alert, but let's take it from the key change, and then you do the exit bar, the song again.
Yeah.
I was like, can he go any bigger with this? And then I was like, oh, wait a minute, let me just take this back to Drama Studio London and those stage energy workshops that Peter Layton used to give us. No, wonderful, really good. And how does that differ each night with different, you must have three
four different kids.
Voices.
Yeah. Four kids. They're all totally different. Totally different. I enjoy the change on stage. I always embrace it and go with whatever comes at me. So I love it. I like the change.
And tell me, how long did you have in rehearsals? It can't have been long.
Once they got the go ahead to open up,
right?
All the cast members were given a few days. Do you want to come and do this? Because if they're high risk or they live with people that are high risk, they might not want to do it. So in my case, the guy playing the part didn't feel comfortable coming in, so I got the call on the Friday. Before rehearsals on the Wednesday.
So this sounds a little bit like Cat's movie all over again.
What, the last minute thing? And curtains.
And curtains.
Curtains, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So
I had the transfer into the West End. I remember.
So we did a recap, what they called a recap for 5 days, and then we started tech.
Uh-huh.
So I had a 5-day rehearsal.
Wow. So. And how did being in the rehearsal room now under all the COVID restrictions compare with how rehearsal might have been previously?
It was about not singing into each other's faces. And so everything we turned out rather than singing in.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep, when we could, keep the distance as best we could, really.
Yeah, because it was interesting, because on stage, obviously, that's not always possible. I mean, in the Regent's Park open air production, they seem to have kept that social distancing on the steps.
The audience is going to notice, but hopefully not, too much. I do get a little nervous when I do, articulate so much I might, throw out some saliva. the audience isn't going to be distracted. Oh God!
I know. We were very surprised when we walked in, actually, about those two lovely tables where the audience members sat. That were a little bit closer. I was like, oh, hello.
Yeah.
But still, well distanced from
10 meters,
and obviously the orchestra are up very, very high.
Yeah, and they all have screens in between each.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Each player.
Yeah.
Each musician. 12-piece orchestra.
Wow. And are we
very
being
cool.
tested really regularly?
Tested every day.
Every day.
Every day, so that we know when we go on, if someone does spit a little bit, we're all good.
Wow. So. And does that mean we need to have more understudies than usual?
No, pretty much the same. There's only one cover. Because it's only a 5-week run, they're thinking,
we're going to be good.
We're all going to be good. And, now... Knock on wood, everybody's very healthy. So,
wow. And how does it feel standing on stage and looking out at a whole bunch of people in sort of surgical masks and different coloured masks? Or is it so dark, you know, with the lights in your face that you can't
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It looks a bit surreal. And you do see some creative masks going on. That's cool. But in the big picture, it's just great to see people out there and, you know, enjoying theater. And we've been, you know, out of the 400 that can be sold, I say we've been, I think if it's a bad day, we're about 350. But I think we're in between 350 and 400 probably every show. So it's selling really well, and hopefully that can, and the reviews have been good. So maybe we can move on.
Hopefully, definitely.
Into town or a tour.
Definitely. Because it's a great auditorium, and you know, as an audience member, I didn't feel anxious, or, you know, I felt that there was space around me. Everyone's very good at keeping their masks on. The staff are very sort of friendly and informative. And, you know, it is a vast venue. The ceilings are high. You don't feel...
Yeah. That's why I think they felt comfortable doing it here. The Western theaters are just, you know, quite small. And even though you could spread them out during the performance, getting the audience in and out in the small, quaint West End theaters.
Yeah, it's almost impossible. I mean, I think about when I saw you at Curtains in Wyndham's. I mean, that's so beautiful. A completely different, you know, auditorium to look out at, but so compact. Excellent. It's been lovely to chat to you.
Super. Thanks. Well, I'm just glad you got something to see.
Yeah, it's so wonderful.
Do you have anything else that you're going to see?
Well, I have booked tickets for the first performance of Six.
Okay.
But that's not till November. And last weekend I saw Regent's Park open air, Jesus Christ Superstar. So I'm supporting and doing what I can.
Excellent.
Great.
Well, hopefully there'll be more. And
I hope so.
Be as creative and, you know, with performance spaces and...
Shows must go on.
They must.
And I also had a chat to Tom Fitch, one of the technical theatre team, and here's our conversation.
So I'm talking to Tom, who was part of the technical team on Sleepless. And hi there.
Hello.
So how did you get involved in this project?
So I know one of the technical managers here at the Troubadour Wembley Park. I'd worked on a show with him before. And when I found out that Sleepless was being remounted, I spoke to him, saw what I could do, and here I am.
Brilliant. And what's your role in the tech team?
So I am one of four follow spot operators, but I cover three follow spots between the other follow spot operators as well.
Fantastic. And what does that entail throughout the show?
Basically, pointing a very, very big light at whoever is important in the show. So there's three follow spots on this show, and we cover any performers that need lighting away from the regular lighting on the show. So any of the principal cast, like Kimberly I've completely forgot his name, that's really bad. any of the principal cast, who are, I guess, most important in the show.
Fantastic. And how does it differ now working? Because have you worked at the Troubadour Wembley Park before?
I've not, no. This is my first time here.
But how does, I mean, obviously you've got an extensive CV, which we'll go into later, but how does it differ now with all the new sort of COVID measures? Are there different things that you need to be aware of and do in your role?
So usually in a show, we come in at our regular call time and then we'll go and do whatever we need to do. But with this show, we need to come in an hour earlier than we usually would to be tested for COVID, exactly the same as the rest of the company. So actors, musicians, every other technical member of staff as well. And yeah, so the only real difference is the testing, and then we've got to wear our masks throughout the entire show as well.
Wow. So you've literally just come out of testing now, haven't you, before the show?
Yeah, just came out of testing now. I'm just wandering around above the stage actually right now.
Oh, how exciting. But obviously you've tested, you're fine. You're good to
I'm
work
fine
this evening.
Now. Yes, completely fine.
What a bizarre world
we're living really in at the moment. Yeah.
And so talk to me about some of the other shows that you've worked on. I follow you on Instagram, and it seems that you're always working on all the shows. I'm like, oh, I must go and see that. I've just been to see that.
Yeah, so prior to lockdown, I was working on a show called Leopoldstadt, which is a play rather than a musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's the new Tom Stoppard play, and that's at Wyndham's Theatre. I was supposed to be going on to Book of Mormon 4 days after lockdown started, unfortunately. So I would have been there right now, but life had something else in plan, clearly. As well, I've also worked on Matilda. I did Annie when it was in the West End. I toured with Nativity.
Oh, wicked. As well. Yeah. Oh, so like loads of stuff, because I saw your post on Leopoldstadt, and I really wanted to see that, and then obviously, you know, with the lockdown, March the 16th, that was that, sadly, because I was all ready to chat to you about that one, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were, yeah.
And so talk to, as an audience member, I think you went to see the very first sort of post-lockdown experiment at the Palladium with Beverly
yes.
Knight. How
yes,
was that?
That was very different. It basically the same precautions that you have to be a audience member here at the Troubadour Wembley. Basically, there's lots of social distancing involved. You've got to wear a mask. There was temperature scanners. The show itself was absolutely amazing. It was just so great to be in a theatre again, as well as it being such a amazing one like the London Palladium.
Yeah.
Andrew Lloyd Webber gave a little bit of a speech before the show actually started as well. Quite a lot of people, when the house lights went down, they were almost tearing up. There was a huge cheer as well. It was lovely.
Well, it was a very historic moment, a bit like this production that you're working on now. I mean, it's a historic moment in
definitely
in British theatre. Well, world theatre at the moment. Everyone's kind of watching to see what you guys are doing at the Troubadour.
Yes.
As a sign of, you know, what's to come. And what advice, then, would you give to young people who want to work on the tech side of things? Because I'm often talking to actors and getting their advice for young people who want to perform. So it's nice to talk to the other side.
Yeah. Basically, the only thing that I can recommend is volunteer when you're young. Do as much as you can when you are young, and you don't have to be paid a lot or anything, because you're probably still living with your parents and there's no bills to pay, which is not my situation right now. I mean, myself right now, I'm still only quite young. I'm only 22. So I did an apprenticeship when I was 16. The moment I left school, I went straight into an apprenticeship in a regional theatre. And a lot of people don't go down that route. They go straight into the, I guess, the universities like Guildhall or GSA, those kind of things. Now they're all really great routes, but it's just very different. Oh, you can probably hear the cast warming up right now.
Oh,
on
bless.
Stage.
Oh, and so would you advise that kind of? So you're basically kind of working on the job, learning your trade.
Yeah, exactly.
On the job.
So yeah, so I worked on a lot of shows that like the big touring productions that would come through, and I learned how to do what I do now, just by working on those shows and then building up a skill set. And that was when I chose to do lighting rather than, I guess, sound or automation. I do a little bit of stage management as well, but very little.
Mm. And are you always on follow spot, or do you do other forms of lighting as well?
I do other forms of lighting. So I also do lighting design. I program a little bit as well. But mostly we're on the bigger shows, I'm follow spotting.
And obviously you're freelance, self-employed. Do you have an agent? How does it work on the technical side of things? Or do you just get jobs because you know people and sort of hustle?
So basically there's almost a job site for technical staff. It's called Mandy.com.
Oh, yes.
Used to be known as Stage Jobs, and it was also the same as Casting Call Pro. But then they merged all together to make Mandy, and all of our jobs are advertised on there. And then you advertise, you send in your CV, and if you're good enough for the job, you get the job. That's basically it.
Excellent. Well, I will let you get back to the jobs that you need to do before the show starts, especially if the cast are coming on to warm up.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot.
They're just doing their warm up now, actually, to Baby Cakes TLC, actually.
Oh, can we hear it? We can't quite hear it. Can we? Oh, we can hear them giggling.
You can hear them giggling, yeah. That's all, probably all you could
hear. Yeah, that was Corey, I bet. That's a big laugh.
Yeah. He's very loud, that Corey.
Oh, well, thanks a lot for chatting to me, Tom. It was brilliant to get some insight into the backstage world, particularly during these COVID odd, strange times.
Thank you.
Oh, take care. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now for my finale and curtain call. So it's been great to see the theatre world slowly coming back to life. The Bridge Theatre has brought to the stage a unique double bill of Alan Bennett's Talking Heads, which was previously broadcast back in June on the BBC. And I'm looking forward to seeing Six at the Lyric Theatre with their opening show at 4 p.m. on the 14th of November. There's a show called Contact, which, after taking the streets of Paris by storm, is now journeying to the streets and parks of London. This is offering a unique blend of immersive theatre and sensorial soundscapes to a whole new audience. So I might give that a go. It seems to be running until the 11th of October. So a big thanks to Corey and Tom for chatting on this episode, and a huge, huge respect that I have for the producers of Sleepless in being the pioneers in attempting to bring audiences back to theatres in these very odd times. Until the next time, stay safe. Please tune in next time and recommend us to all your friends and family. Follow us on Spotify, Facebook and Instagram at Theatre Audience Podcast, and on Twitter at Theatre Audi Pod. And do send us any recommendations of things you think we should see and review. If you've enjoyed the show, then please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and leave us a little review. Until next time, goodbye and thank you for listening.